That's what he said.
Okay, we're now recording for the June 26, 2018 Porch Cove St. Phillips Council meeting.
Thank you, Claudine.
It's not working.
Nope. Mic on, Mike. It's not working, is it?
No.
Yep. Beautiful.
Not really can speak on buttons any better, Claudine, can't we?
Johnny, what's the story on that dunk tank? Any words on that yet?
I hope it's above 5 degrees.
I'll boil the water and bring it down.
And one for traps in the water.
If you fall from the tank and hits the ice, you don't get hurt, right?
I got the tank, I already figured out.
Alright.
Been there.
Who's in it?
Been there. It's worth every minute of it.
Oh yeah.
Not a hair. Was it a fine hair trigger or whatever it's called? Hairpin trigger.
Hairpin trigger. Of course it is. And the littlest child of this height
will be able to hit that.
Put you underwater.
They'll be making a fortune. That and the pie throwing contest.
Yeah.
Did Crank get them things to work afterwards?
Yeah. Where's the control for it?
Mayor Best, I think.
Sorry, where are you going rolling or getting it?
So what do we do? Speak a little loud. Well,
we morning.
Speak a little loud. We'll have
we don't have recording.
It's recorded. They're on
the recording. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay, yeah, we're going to have a little bit of water.
Lit up, so
bring
sure
back memories.
Jeff's usually our technical person that fixes that.
You just have to speak clearly.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Well, good evening. We don't have our mic tonight, so you're going to have to bear with us, and hopefully you can hear us. That ought to sound good, John.
So we can get quicker.
Okay, can we have the adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Bartlett, seconded by Councillor Hanlon.
And then there's just a few changes. There will be an amendment to a previously adopted motion under business arising from the A&F committee. And there is a change in the content of item number 7 under Recreation and Community Services.
It's number seven
in the package, and on the agenda it's listed as number 8.
Okay.
So the mental health one or community grants one?
It's the mental health.
It's number 7.
Okay. Thank you.
7 with the body and within the minutes, but it's 8 on the front agenda.
From the agenda. Okay. So it's the mental health one.
Okay. You'll
all
get a favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Carries. Okay, everybody read their minutes. We have the adoption of minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Bartlett. Seconded by Councillor Stewart Sharp.
Your Worship, there was a few changes, but the version that you're signing is the latest one.
Okay. Thank you.
Very minor one.
Not the version we got.
If you have the latest packages,
this morning.
There was a package sent out at around noontime today.
11:28 on our email.
Okay,
that's one. So
yep.
This one's okay.
Yep. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Contrary? Carried. Our town manager had to leave. He was here, but he had to leave. He took sick and we put him out of here because we don't want it. So we have our town clerk to an administration finance man to give us a report. Thank you.
You really want to put me on the spot, don't you? I don't have a report to get rid of. I will say that in relation to two projects, you'll see coming up in the Business of Rising in a minute, there's going to be a change, a small change to the Drover Heights motion from 2 weeks ago, and that will just put a dollar value associated with it. We have requests back from Municipal Affairs to include that, even though they had the contracts with the amount there and it was already signed. But anyway, it was easier for us to amend the motion, which will be coming forward. And then the next steps on that project will be to actually go to market to try to get a project manager and then engineering service for that project. We also have meetings this afternoon with Vigilant concerning the revised metering project, and between Vigilant, I guess, and Municipal Affairs, there was some rejigging of the scope of the project, and that will come back to committee again for review. But essentially, it hasn't changed overall much. I think the value for Neptune's contract is within $200 of the $900,000 that was there in the first place. So it is now in line with the
scope of work.
The scope of work for, and what's eligible under the guidelines for $1.5 million project that was done under the Clean Water Wastewater Fund. But I need that council again, just so that everyone understands the full scope of what we do, because there is some, are some dollars outside the $1.5 million that would need to go in, but in terms of some of the zone metering side of things and that. But we'll bring that back for further discussion. That's about all I have.
Thank you. And we have Deputy Mayor Laham to give us the change in the
A&M. Thank you, Your Worship.
Administration of Finance.
Due to the fact that the June 12, 2018 Clean Water Wastewater Fund motion did not include the revised project costs, I would like to amend the motion to read the following. Resolved that the Mayor and Town Clerk sign the contract with the province relating to the Clean Water Wastewater Fund agreement for Drover's Heights Water and Sewer Project in the amount of $763,504. Motion. I recommend the council amend the previously adopted Clean Water Wastewater Fund motion number 2018-196 to include the total project cost of $763,504. So moved.
Seconder for that motion? Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Undermined? Carried. I guess then we'll go right into the reports, and Councillor Harding with Planning and Development.
Thank you, Your Worship. Planning and Development Committee met on June 20th, 2018, with yours truly as Chair, Deputy Mayor Jeff Laham, Councillor Johnny Hanlon, Ashley McKinnon, Planning Technician, and David Beckett, Development Control Officer in attendance. Also in attendance were Mayor Carol McDonald, Chris Milley, Town Manager, Engineer, and two property owners from Item 16. Item number 1, Civic Number 70-90, Witch-Hazel Road, subdivide property. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to subdivide property at Civic Number 70-90, Witch-Hazel Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. That's so moved.
Seconded. Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried.
Item number 2, Civic Number 275-277, Dogberry Hill Road, backfilling and landscaping. Motion reads as follows. Committee recommends that the application for backfilling landscaping at Civic Number 275-277, Dogberry Hill Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Stuart Sharp. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Item number 3, Civic Number 850-852, Indian Meal Line, backfilling and landscaping. It's that time of the year, I guess. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application for backfilling landscaping at Civic Number 850-852, Indian Meal Line, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrimined? Carried.
Item number four, Civic number 6870, Wester Gully Road, accessory building. The committee recommends that the application to construct an accessory building at Civic number 6870, Wester Gully Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Councilor Lehan, Deputy Mayor Lehan. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrimined? Carried.
Item number five, Civic number 53 to 55, Bonding Line Extension, accessory building. The motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to construct an accessory building at Civic number 53 to 55, Bonding Line Extension, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Councilor Hanlon. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided? Carried.
Civic number 810, item number six, Civic number 810, Night Rest, commercial building renovations. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application for commercial building renovations at Civic number 8 to 10, Night Rest, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. That's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Bartlett. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Undivided?
Carried. Item number seven, Civic number 15, Near East Pond Road, a business, which is a home office. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to establish a home office for personal service business, custom merchandise printing, at Civic number 15, Near East Pond Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report. And that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contrimined? Carried.
Item number eight, Civic number 1558 to 1564, Portugal Cove Road, portable vendor. The motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the application to operate a portable vendor unit from the vacant property, Civic number 1558 to 1564, Portugal Cove Road, be granted approval in principle as per Appendix A of the table report, and that's so moved.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Lehan. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Item nine, Civic number 137, Beecher Cove Road, request to extend approval in principle. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that the request to extend an approval in principle for a 14-lot fully serviced residential subdivision at Civic number 137, Beecher Cove Road, for a further year be granted in accordance with the town's extension of existing conditional approvals policy. And it's so moved.
Seconded by Deputy Mayor Lehan. Any questions? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided? Carried.
Item number 10, Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment, environmental assessment for proposed quarry expansion. Motion reads as follows. The committee recommends that council forward correspondence to the Department of Municipal Affairs and the Environment, stating that council has no concerns with the environmental assessment for a proposed quarry expansion at Civic number 533 Bolling Line Extension. And that's so moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrimined? Carried.
Item number 11, proposed amendment to increase maximum cul-de-sac lengths. Further to the notice of motion presented at the June 12, 2018 council meeting, the committee makes the following recommendation. Motion reads as follows. Committee recommends that council complete an amendment to develop Regulation 90, Section C, Subdivision Design Standards of the Town's Municipal Plan and Development Regulations 2014-24 to increase the maximum length of fully serviced, semi-serviced, and unserviced cul-de-sacs from 300 to 450 meters at its farthest point. And that's so moved.
Seconded.
Seconded by Councilor Bartlett.
Quick on the draw. Quick
on the draw. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Contrimined? Carried.
Item number 12.
We have one.
For the record, Councillor Hanlon is against the motion.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Motion is carried.
Getting too used to the routine.
To the rest of more just
exactly.
Trolls curveball.
Items number 12 through 30. Our other items that were discussed at the committee meeting, detailed information regarding these items can be found at Appendix A of the table report. Permits issued. There were 21 permits issued from June 1st to June 14th, 2018, as per Appendix A of the table report. And, Your Worship, that ends my report.
Thank you very much. Councillor Stewart Sharp, Recreation and Community Services.
Thank you, Your Worship. Recreation and Community Services met June 19th. In attendance was myself as chair, Councillor Hanlon, Councillor Neary, and Don Sharp, Director of Recreation and Community Service. Number one, hope you can all hear me. I'm not really loud speaker, sorry. Traffic concerns and motorized vehicles on Mitchell's Pond. A resident spoke with the Director of Recreation and Community Service regarding their concerns with vehicles parked on the side of Bennett's Row impeding traffic. They also expressed concerns with sea doing on the pond. Committee was aware of this issue and was being addressed through, and it was being addressed also through Public Works. An email was sent out to the Department of Transportation and Works, to which staff was waiting a reply. A follow-up email will be sent, and that will be brought back to Public Works Committee for further discussion. Number two, green space on Balling Line. A resident of the community is interested in donating a piece of property on Balling Line that is near Voisey's Brook Park. Staff will obtain more information on the property and bring the information back to the committee for discussion. Number three, Lifestyle Center. On Tuesday, July 12th, the Recreation Committee met with the Chamber of Commerce Steering Committee to discuss the Lifestyle Center. The Chamber of Commerce made recommendations for the Council to consider the Recreation and the Recreation Committee discussed those in length. One of the concerns from the discussions was the regard to the town leasing, owning, renting space out to businesses / public in the Lifestyle Center. Please see the attached information, Municipality Act. If I could add to that, please. It was competing businesses in the community that the Chamber of Commerce is worried about. Number four, Summerwood Playground. As Council is aware, residents in the Thorburn Woods subdivision have been fundraising to help support the upgrade of the playground on Summerwood Drive. As well, the Portugal Cove St. Philip's Lion Club had confirmed their support to purchase the inclusion swing. The town has allocated funding in the budget to complete this project and can collect the supporting funds from the groups once the project has been complete. The committee would like to make the following recommendations. Motions. Committee recommends that the town contact Grand Concourse Authority to upgrade Thorburn Road Playground to include an inclusion swing and rubber safety surface in the amount of $106,885.52. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Neary. Any discussion?
Should that say Thorburn Woods Playground?
No, it should say Summerwood. That's my fault.
Summerwood.
Okay, yes. Okay. Sorry. My fault.
All right.
Sorry. That's okay.
No, just
Summerwood.
Clarifies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any discussion?
Yep. I noticed the amount of this is over $100,000. How are we able to get over contacting Grand Concourse without going through the Public Tendering Act?
I thought once we use Grand Concourse, there is no to be had.
Actually, Grand Concourse has an act with provincial government that allows membership not to abide by the Public Procurement Act now as it is.
So we don't have to...
When you're a member of the Grand Concourse Authority, there's actually long-standing documentation around this for years, whether people agree with it or not. The Grand Concourse Authority is... we can abstain from the Public Procurement Act when you're part of that... a member of the Grand Concourse Authority.
So we sort of got a contract with them.
We are signed on with the Grand Concourse Authority as part of it. Actually, it's called the Grand Concourse Authority Act with the provincial government that allows this to take place.
So do we use Grand Concourse for all playground
recreation? All of our recreation facilities are maintained by the Grand Concourse Authority, yes.
Grand Concourse presented that to us earlier in our term when they came and did their presentation and discussed that whole process.
No,
that if we were to put it to tender, we're not allowed to engage
with
them.
We have the option to go to tender, or we have the option to go with them, but we can't ask them to go to tender. That's the way.
So if we're using Grand Concourse, we can't go to tender?
No, they don't go to tender. It's directly through them.
But we still can go.
Yes, but if we go to tender, Grand Concourse will not do the work.
They will not bid on tender, no. They're not allowed to.
They're not allowed. I remember the conversation as well with Mr. Bone, I think was his name, or the gentleman that was here. And he said that the work comes to them. They don't go to the work because they're not allowed to take part in the public tendering process. Having said that, I still have reservations that we're, again, just taking one price to do something. Now, don't get me wrong. I support inclusion to the max, 100%. But I'm thinking that the better return for our town could possibly be utilizing the Public Tendering Act, because we're not bound legally to get all the work done by the Grand Concourse, as I understand from the presentation. It's our choice. So the way I look at it, almost $110,000 for one area, if we had tried the Public Tendering Act, is it possible to get a better value for our money and maybe get two parks done for that, which would double the accessibility for those that needed inclusion?
So you can guarantee that we can get a better price by tender?
I certainly can say that there's no way that we'd be able to benefit or max from the opportunity to have that it's double the price of what would be out there.
No, I don't mean that it's double
the price. The equipment that's out there, that's never been presented before, Jeff. It's just, it's costly anyway.
I understand the price of the equipment is costly.
Pay for a membership to be part of that.
Point of order. I wasn't saying that we could get two full parks. What I was saying is that if we had a savings in one park, we could buy a piece of equipment to put in the other park. It doesn't have to be the full inclusionary package, but it would give double the people or more people more accessibility to the inclusion equipment, whether it was one swing in another park or whatever it is. I'm call me old school, but I'm never for taking one price. It just doesn't seem like you're getting the better value for your dollar.
I just want to remind that at the time that Grand Concourse gave their presentation, this was part of what was used as an example at that time when we talked about the fact that we'd be upgrading our playgrounds in the area of Summerwood and Voices Brook, I believe it was, but don't quote me on that part, but definitely Summerwood, in the sense at that time that was one of the examples used. There was that sort of heads up given back in late October by Grand Concourse that they already have participated in completing some of the work on our playgrounds, and that this would be the next stage that we had budgeted for, and that they were going to likely be a part of that. So just a reminder that this was already a discussion and there wasn't a question at that time.
There was discussion, but there was no price.
But they always do excellent work, and is anything that happened that wasn't correct, they'll have to come back and fix it.
I don't question the work.
Can we do one at a time, please?
I don't question the work. I question whether we could get a better value for our dollar. Are we getting the maximum value by going through that? If we put it to tenders, or any question that we may not get the work done cheaper.
Okay, Dave, you were going to say something.
No, just listen to Jeff's point.
Okay.
Well, I can answer that. I can't answer that. I'll just answer how I feel. I don't know, because I don't know about the tendering. So it could be very right, it could be very wrong.
Okay, Councillor Hertzman Hanlon.
Going for pricing, by all means, it's... It is a way of getting a multiple prices, or maybe a better deal, maybe not. I do know that because we signed on for the Grand Concourse Authority, it gave us this option of not having to. If we don't want to, as a group, deal with the Grand Concourse Authority, that's a different discussion for a different time. But once we sign on to go with them, we either use their service and stay a member of the Grand Concourse and reap the benefits of, and they promote the particular costly part of this, and to get back to
the inclusion side of things, is actually the pouring play surface, which right now, I forget the astronomical amount per square foot that it is, but because of the Grand Concourse being involved with other types of insulation in town like this, they go out and get a price on multiple playgrounds that they're doing in St. John's, whereas if we go to tender on our own, we go to tender on our own for 100 square feet. They go to tender for 1,000 square feet. And I'm just putting numbers with it to show that when you go out with for more on this particular product, it's not made in Newfoundland, it's brought in. It's a one of type of a material that we already have in two of our parks right now. When we went down this road before, I cannot speak to this particular project, the one that we did before, we saved something like 35-40% of the original costing per square foot by going with them because they had another project going, and by bringing in more, the cost goes down. That's where I see this now. If the Grand Concourse quoted this price, I assume they went and looked at it the same way. I can't speak exactly for it right now, but either we deal with the Grand Concourse or we don't, and we take them for what they are. Somewhere way above us, someone decided that the Grand Concourse had the authority to be outside of the Public Procurement Act. None of us around this table at this particular point in time can say yay or nay to it, but we as a group need to decide if we're going to take them for their word and use them or not and move on. But to get it to this point, which has taken multiple years to get us to where we are right now on this particular project, and to back out now because of this, I think we should have had our homework done prior to coming to here. Anyway, that's
okay.
My
anybody
lesson.
Else
so, Mayor, to? The one thing about this location too in the town is that it is in a location where I believe it's 5 or 6 children that would be able to utilize this, where right now they can't go to the park because it's crushed stone. So these parks are very safe. These safety services, they prevent injuries. And children will fall down, and it will prevent injuries. But looking at this to me is that, and I can see these, I know these children are, and for them right now, they're being excluded because they cannot go to this park. And with this safety service inclusion swing, they will be able to enjoy the facilities of the park. Right now,
once again, I 100% support that.
Yeah.
But my question is not around the inclusion, not around the safety, it's about the costing and how we go about it. So, I 100% agree.
I understand where you're coming from. I understand that from a different angle, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yes, I understand your angle, but yeah. If we could get it, and I'm not saying we can, but if you get the same thing for $90,000 by going through the tendering act, wouldn't it be prudent to do so? That's the only thing I'm saying.
But didn't we have a situation where we went through Grand Concourse and it came in cheaper, and we had to pay less, and there was money refunded, or something in that situation, that it came in at a lot lower cost?
That's one of the things that they provided again in the presentation, was the fact that, because this was asked, because we were trying to determine if we would continue a membership with them, and what was the benefits to us as a town to do so. And when they expressed that, it's similar to what Council Hanlon said about, it's almost like, they didn't use this word, but it's like the Costco or the group, right? They bring everything in bulk, and therefore that keeps the prices down. When you're going out individually, like what John was saying, that's what raises the prices up. So they, at that time, shared that in most situations like this with our playgrounds, which is why they got the previous jobs. It was because of the fact that they were able to do it at a much less rate compared to...
Because they do recycle materials. If they can use recyclable materials, they will, and that will bring the cost down as well.
The only thing I would have to, or like to, I got that, my 2 cents worth. It's given the Grand Concourse the monopoly to get all our work, whether we agree with it or not. We're not checking anybody else for prices. I understand what Johnny's saying. They got their own act. They're excluded from the government, from the Procurement Act. But we don't have to deal with it like that. We can go elsewhere. We can do what... Tony, do you want to add to that? Do you have anything to add?
I can add,
please?
But I guess...
I'm not
going to try and sway a decision one way or another on it. I mean, the thing is... I guess from the Grand Concourse Authority, once you're a member, then essentially the staff and whatever they do is considered to be essentially town staff to do the work type thing, like maintain maintenance of trails and that. When it comes to bigger projects, we are not obligated to stay with Grand Concourse, and we can certainly go to Tenderac. I know the last time we talked about the Pour and Play playground was in relation to, I think, Rainbow Gully and Voisey's. And they were doing a job for St. John's at the time, and we managed to leverage substantial discounts, at least so we understand. Once again, you wouldn't know until you go to tender, but substantial discounts because St. John's was also doing some Pour and Play at the time. So obviously the economies of scale from bringing in the Pour and Play surface was in our favor because it made it cheaper to do type thing. I guess Grand Concourse adds value from a do extras for your perspective with no additional cost. Once they give you a price, they very seldom go over the price. You'll never be able to say that guarantee, yeah, that's the lowest price unless you go to tender because you have nothing to compare it to. So there's, you can argue that all night long. Unless you see
that
it
was my
in
point.
Front of your mouth. The only thing is, if you go to tender, Grand Concourse will not bid on it because they're not entitled to bid on it. And if it came in at $200,000, then the decision would be no go or no go, and Grand Concourse, you couldn't say go back to Grand Concourse because then you'd be subject to lawsuit from those who did tender, and it'd be unfair tender practices at the time. So it's a best guess at this point. I mean, you want to test the market, go to market and see what you come back with, and then you get some idea of how Grand Concourse is in the future, and or you say, yeah, they did it for us before at a reasonable price, and we assume it has a reasonable price now. That's the only thing I'd say. Until you actually look at price of solid side, you're not going to say where it's low.
We should have been concerned before we decided to become members with them again. Then, by 2017, it's important to do your homework.
To address that, there's no part of membership which says you have to utilize the Grand Concourse for every project. Mm-hmm. There's no agreement there for our membership which says that.
But if you go to tender, you can't go to that.
Understand perfectly. But the decision to be made that Councillor Neary just referenced, maybe we should have thought about that when we decided to join them. At no point during the joining process with Grand Concourse are you obliged, because of your membership, to go to them for every project.
No, it's just based on past practice.
But I think when we had our presentation here, I don't think the Procurement Act was in at that time. So, you know, that was another thing. We didn't.
The Procurement Act is brand new as of
March 24th this year.
Councillor Neary, were you saying something?
No, I just responded to Jeff.
Oh.
When he suggested the date of the procurement, I was at that same workshop. Yep.
Okay, we ready for the question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Contraminded?
Nay.
Nay. It's carried.
Okay, just for the record.
Myself, Deputy Mayor Laham, and Councillor Hardy were against.
And to be clear, I'll speak for myself, but I think I'm speaking for the other nay voters as well. This is in no way reflective of being non-supportive of our inclusion committee or the people that need the inclusion. This was strictly a vote on the procedural for how we got to where we're to.
And I feel the same, and just, I mean, inclusion, yes, totally for inclusion. But just because we've always done it, I don't think we should look at that in the future. I think we should look at going out to tender. But in the meantime, this one is passed, and let's move on. Continue. Councillor Stewart-Sharp.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you very much, Your Worship. Once again this week. Number five, older adult fitness class. The Recreation Committee discussed the older adult fitness class that the program coordinator is currently running. Although this program is very successful, it is recommended that the staff look into the interest level from seniors in a low-impact fitness class. Details of the program will be provided over the summer, and if enough interest is generated, a class will be introduced in September. That was simple, hey? Number six. field rental rates. With the expansion of softball field, minor softball teams from outside the community have expressed interest in renting the facilities. For this reason, the committee would like to make the following recommendations. Motion, committee recommends that the town set the rates for outside the community minor groups as listed below. Number one, the mini diamond, no fee. Number two, regulation size field, $15 per hour without lights, $30 per hour with lights. Number three, batting cages, $15 per hour. So moved.
May I second the motion? Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions?
Just one in comparable prices. Is every price competitive for the other facilities?
Very much so, yes. Perfect. Yeah.
Further? All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided? Carried.
Number seven. Maple Hill. Councillor Neary brought forward information regarding the presentation of a resolution relating to mental health that the committee agreed would be appropriate to present at the Municipalities, Newfoundland and Labrador Conference in October 2018. Once the committee receives the final version of the resolution from Councillor Neary, it will be brought forward for council support. Staff will inquire about the deadline for the call for resolutions. Number eight, community grants. After reviewing the community grant applications, the committee would like to put forward the following recommendations. Motion, the committee recommends that the town donate $250 to Quinlan's Home Construction men's softball team to assist with their travels to Florida for the Nationals in October. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Neary. Any questions, discussion? Is Quinlan's Home Construction men's softball team from the town?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided? Carried.
Motion. Committee recommends that the town donate $100 to William Gamprel. Thank you. To assist with his travels with the Newfoundland Labrador Soccer Association under 16 boys provincial soccer team to Halifax for the Atlantic Championships. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided? Carried.
So ends my report.
Thank you. Next. Public Works.
Thank you, Mayor. Public Works, we met on June 21st. In attendance was myself as Chair, Deputy Mayor Lahan, Councillor Herring, staff was Chris Milley, Town Manager, Engineer, Linda Newhook, Public Works Coordinator, and the Mayor was also in attendance. Item number one is a referral from Planning and Development Committee, pre-engineered sewage treatment systems. Staff received a referral from Planning and Development requesting feedback for consideration of the implementation and maintenance of a pre-engineered sewage treatment system, which would include determining any changes required to the town's subdivision design and construction standards for the installation and operation of these systems. Staff will review the proposal and provide a report to Planning and Development. Item number two, Witch Hazel Road. It's a request for speed bumps. A request to install a speed bump on Witch Hazel Road was put forward. This will be referred to the town's traffic calming policy. Item number three, line painting update. Staff provided updates on line painting. Most areas are now complete, and the word there is weather permitting. The remainder should be finalized within the next 2 weeks. Item number four, 27 Emberleys Road. Previous committee report indicated that quotes for installation of a fence and cost to change embankment slope adjacent to 27 Emberleys Road were obtained in the amounts of $2,169 plus HST and $1,935 plus HST. A correction is required as the quotes are for the installation of the fencing portion only. The motion reads as follows. Committee recommends installation of the fence adjacent to 27 Emberleys Road by Apex Construction Specialties Incorporated at a cost of $1,935 plus HST. So moved.
Seconder for that motion? Seconded by Deputy Mayor Lahan. Any questions? All in favor?
I have a question first. And I didn't realize this at the meeting, and I apologize. The resolution for this situation was to put a fence up there and then to change the embankment slope so it met with standards. By accepting this, are we now not saying that we're going to fix the embankment substandard?
I think we have to fix that to install a fence park.
No. No. The embankment is above the pavement, or below the pavement. So fence is going on the pavement.
I can't answer
you. No, I can't answer you.
There's nobody from Public Works here.
Could you read the motion as it states it's only to purchase the fence? We went for quotes.
Yeah, I know that, but we went for quotes for the cost of the fence and to change the embankment slope. This motion is only for the cost of the fence. Does that mean we're not going to fix the substandard embankment?
I couldn't tell.
The last sentence there, a correction is required, as the quotes are for the installation of the fencing portion only.
Okay.
Which means that the slope is not included in that in the motion.
No, I understand that the slope is not included in it, but it says a correction is required. I don't know what the correction is. Is this saying we're not going to fix the slopes? Or that we're just going to do the fence here and fix the slopes later? Kind of A.
And I can't answer that. I really can't. But we will find out if you want to. Can we table the motion?
Tony?
Sorry?
Can we table the motion until we get a...
Wouldn't defer.
An ad defer? Because we don't...
I don't want to bite off like one hand and or pay off one hand and bite out the other hand, right?
My opinion is there's nothing in it that says we're not going to do the slope. We're already paying, we're already getting it straightened out so we can actually get the fence installed. That's one part of this issue.
Yep.
You can always bring back the second part to get dealt with the next committee meeting.
All right, my concern is a correction is required. I don't know why there's a correction required other than the fact that this is just for the fence. Right? It could have said, this is just for the fence and we will get another quote for the slope.
Well, with the town, with Public Works probably be doing
again,
the slope work.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't have to be included if the work's being done in the house.
You would think.
But certainly, we pass this motion for the gentleman's
fence. The motion is for an exterior contractor to do this. If we're going to fix the slope, I assume it would have been done in-house. Maybe not, but even, nevertheless, it would have been as another tender. So.
Okay, we can address that later.
Because my concerns are if we defer...
We're actually speaking to the motion, we're not speaking to the preamble.
Yeah.
There's only fence, so you're still going to need quotes for the salt street work.
It can certainly be another topic at your next committee meeting for the slope part.
Yeah, I just want to go through the whole process again.
Oh, no. You'll have the fence taken care of.
But it could be a simple phone call to Linda tomorrow, and she would say, yes, that is included, and it should have said.
All right, let's talk about that.
We're still, we're still obligated to give the man space.
We
need
to look at it.
Oh, there's no doubt there.
Yeah.
Right, because if not, it would be 2 weeks before we get past the motion. Again, there could be a simple...
For the fence.
Yes, it should have been included.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a seconder, or do we don't
know? I have a seconder, Tom. Okay. Councilor Hanley.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Carried.
The next ones are discussion items. It's an update on transportation and works outstanding items. Pedestrian activated crosswalk lighting. Correspondence will be sent to request the installation of a pedestrian activated crosswalk lighting on Thorburn Road in the area of Brookside Intermediate School. Staff will bring the response back to future committee meeting. Item B, Western Gully Road Culvert. Public Works will undertake the required work to replace the culvert at the bottom of Western Gully Road. As this intersects with Portugal Cove Road, a permit from Transportation and Works is required. Request for the same has been sent to Transportation and Works. C. Portugal Cove Road cross culvert. The site visit has been completed with the town manager, public works foreman, and superintendent of operations of transportation works. In attendance, follow-up correspondence will be sent to the TW, and they will provide a response. Once received, update will be brought to future committee meeting. D, intersection of Tucker's Hill and Thorburn Road. Councilor Herring made a motion to request that transportation works reconfigure the intersection into a three-way stop. The motion was not supported by committee, and while a long-term solution may need to be identified in the interim, correspondence will be sent to transportation and works requesting that they recommend a short-term solution. Item E, signage request on Transportation Works Roads. Request for the following signs to be sent to Transportation Works: Beachy Cove Road, Blind Turn, Beachy Cove Road and West Point, Sharp Turn Ahead, Portugal Cove Road, Hidden Driveway, and Portugal Cove Road and Anglican Cemetery Road, Left Turn Traffic Ahead. Item number six, Thorburn Road parking issues. Concerns have been identified on Thorburn Road with respect to vehicles parking on Crown Lane. The town manager will contact them to discuss the matter, and as well will contact transportation and works to present the solution. Item number seven, business signage. The issue of business signage was discussed. Public Works will endeavor to propose a road sign policy and present this at a future committee meeting. Item number eight is hazardous waste collection. Staff will contact the City of St. John's to inquire what steps would need to be taken and determine what costs would be associated with the town holding a hazardous waste collection day. Item number nine, Western Gully Road water runoff. An assessment was conducted on Western Gully Road in an area where concerns about water runoff are suggested. It has been determined that the runoff is very minimal and would not warrant undertaking any changes. Item number 10, Netherwood Street lighting. This matter is under review until completion of the same, and it will be deferred. Item number 11, sidewalk installations, Megan Ridge. Discussion was held on the progress of sidewalk installations and corresponding work. And there ends the report.
Other than one other item.
One other item. Okay. The other item that we don't have included is here is that we will be sending a letter off to Transportation Works looking for a reduced speed zone in the area of the daycares on Portugal Cove Road.
We're requesting, yeah.
And we need to determine how long a stretch of road would be needed. So at our next committee meeting, we'll be discussing this and putting in a request to get a reduced zone down there.
Yeah, there's two daycares and public health clinic,
two
convenience stores, all in a combined area, and the school kids, the two daycares and one on either side of the road, so when the buses stop, the kindergarten's kids just run.
Right.
But it is a dangerous piece of road anyway, with a sharp turn, well, two turns, and very hard to see. The bus even stopped. You're almost up before. So I wanted to ask that the Transportation Works put a 30-kilometer zone in that area, just from Legion Road to Churchill's Road, which take in the two daycares, the two convenience stores, and the public health clinic.
And a blind turn relating to the intersection.
And a blind turn, yeah.
Right. Churchill's Road.
Yeah. So we will deal with that
at our next Public Works meeting.
Public Works meeting. Yes. Thank you very much.
If I may, Your Worship and Mr. Chair, we included in that same area we asked for increased lighting because in the evenings you can't see when the paint was there. When it was raining, we couldn't see the difference in color of the walking area and the driving area. So that goes back to November-ish,
The lighting survey from the
point. Yeah.
Okay.
May I ask
it's all in the same area.
Right.
Yes. May I ask a question about a different area when we're talking about speed? I'm just wondering if I'm correct, and I'm referring back to some correspondence that we received from Councillor Stuart Sharp about the fact that we've finally been graced with the presence of a speed bump over on the area of Bennett's Road. So I think there's something there that needs to be addressed, because now that they've put in our speed bumps, that's fantastic, but they still haven't adjusted the speed from 50. So that
could be
an issue maybe that we might want to address with them.
Sid, you'll have to look into that. Thank you.
I got a couple of questions for Councillor Bartlett, if you don't mind.
Sure.
In item number five, follow-up items with Transportation Works. At our last public meeting, we had a request from a resident to look at two washouts on either side of the road, just above the entrance going down to Beachy Go Beach, just as you make the turn and head up towards the school right at the turn there. There's two pretty significant washouts there. With the summer up on us now, cars will be parking along there, taking advantage of the beach. And I stopped and had a look, and it is a tow job waiting to happen. And it's something that we should try to address with Transportation Works if we could.
Okay.
Can you bring that forward?
Oh, tomorrow morning.
And in item number D, of the same list here under number five, I got a little bit of issue with motion being used in a committee and being supported or not being supported. That terminology doesn't really fit what we were told about how things get before in committees. It seems like there was something put in and it was voted down, whether it was or wasn't. No vote is to happen in forward, like a suggestion or an idea put forward or something like that, but to actually call it a motion at committee level is not something that I think is the correct terminology. Could be totally wrong, but from what I remember of our training in relation to committee practices and what our operating policies are, I don't think we should be dealing and addressing motions at committee level. That's something that happens here in the council chambers.
I think it was the wrong word that was inserted in the motion.
I just like to clarify for the record that I don't think motion should be. It should be suggestion, idea, whatever word you want to use, but motion should be kept for this room as far as I understand.
Can we change? Can we alter that and say suggestion was not supported instead of motion? Because it wasn't a motion, it can't be a motion.
Certainly.
Okay.
There's a couple of instances there.
Yeah, suggestion was not.
If I may, when the item came up, it was a suggestion, a request from a citizen, and there was some concern as to if a decision had been made on it, if it hadn't been made on it, what committee was going to do about it. So I suggested that I put forward the suggestion and see if there was any support for it. So it's a nomenclature thing more than anything. Having said that, committees can make motions within a committee, but it's not reflective of what happens in council. But it wasn't done in that way. It was to see, this has been going on in this particular area since there was a complaint made by a wheelway school bus back in November. So it's just been going around in council, so we figured this would be the best way to deal with it one way or another.
And the other issue with this is Transportation Works only owns half the intersection. Because the town owns from the intersection down to the wharf, so it's just as much the town's issue as it is Transportation Works. And to put forward a request to TW to change this intersection is actually half hours anyway. So to change the intersection...
We've asked TW for suggestions.
Yeah, we've been asking them since November.
What are your thoughts?
So something to put there in the interim while we get something done.
Again, we could be... If it's a public safety issue and it needs to be addressed, we can take it on ourselves.
If I'm not mistaken, don't we have a stop sign on our section of the road already?
No, the road still continues on. The road doesn't. We're asking to change the road. The road actually, Thorburn Road ends down, keeps on going straight. And this is where the 30 kilometer zone and all this stuff came from because of that. But the road still, you're making a right hand turn to go up Tucker's Hill.
Yeah.
And the way the setup is there now.
Yeah, I just like to see something done in the interim until there's a long-term solution there, because I don't want to be here talking about some child that was killed because of inactivity.
But I'd like to see a correspondence too from
TW.
No, from Wheelway, to tell them what happened, because I hadn't.
There's a stop sign there, isn't there? Coming in over Tucker's Hill.
Yeah, and about Tucker's Hill, you have to stop. Yeah.
I'm actually hearing some good suggestions, to be honest with you, from the residents, mm-hmm. what can happen down there. So probably this is going to be on our side, not on Thornton Road side.
This is great. Now we got conversation going on. So conversation brings movement. So it's a wonderful thing.
And while we're waiting for correspondence from TW, can we ask in that committee our own ideas if there are any? Like the one we proposed.
Absolutely. Love it.
Most definitely. put your ideas to the committee.
That's enough for me. I got nothing.
Okay.
Sure. Sure.
And that should end your report, right?
That ends my report.
Economic Development, Marketing, Communications, and Tourism. There was no meeting this week.
That's why I'm getting so all my conversation
Mary is
in
there
everywhere else.
Just loving it.
Yes.
Frustrations everywhere. Protective Services, Councillor Hanlon.
I'm up again. Thank you, Your Worship. Protective Service Committee met Tuesday, June the 19th. In attendance was myself as chair, Councillor Henry, Councillor Bartlett, Heather Coughlin, Employee and Public Relations Administrator, Fred Hallett, our co-chief for items 1, 2, and 5, Richard Murphy, our co-chief for items 1, 2, and 5, and Peter Morey from the Commissioners for item number 1. Hanging into item number 1, Municipal Enforcement. The Municipal Enforcement Officer offered the following update on activities since our last committee meeting. The MEO, Municipal Enforcement Officer, has completed animal protection training and is waiting on the completion certificate to enable him to issue tickets for related offences. He attended a meeting at RNC headquarters with resident Pat Pender, Chief Joe Boland, and Inspector Eddie Oates. The meeting revolved around speeding and traffic concerns and RNC presence in the community. Mr. Pender was requesting more enforcement on Old Brockhove Road. 109 Dogberry Hill Road, investigator reports that rats were tearing up garbage and found that rats were living and nesting under the house. No other neighbours had issues. Evening patrols have been adjusted to a new schedule and are leading to more community engagement and communication. They're having a positive effect throughout the community. Evening patrols reported a duck brake driver to the RNC for stunt driving and dangerous driving. The Municipal Enforcement Officer was able to locate the driver's home address, and the RNC met with the parents of the driver. Evening patrols also reported a suspected impaired driver to the RNC for investigation. The Municipal Enforcement Officer investigated a farm road complaint and made contact with the owner, invited residents to speak with the Planning Development Department on what needs to be done to resolve this particular issue. And the ongoing items are civic numbering audit is moving along and door knockers being issued for any property owners found in non-compliance. Door knockers provide homeowners with basic information on how to become compliant. We're still waiting on response from the Minister regarding traffic regulations, and staff will contact the Minister's office for an update on progress. Just as an update to that, Your Worship, I think the town manager might be looking for some support to put a letter into the Minister of Transportation Works for this.
We've spoke about it.
Okay.
It's in the working order.
Perfect. It's funny that Torbay had their letter turned around in 3 weeks and had the ability to take it now, and we're waiting a little over 3 months, so...
Yep.
I wonder what that particular letter is stuck on. So, item number 2, Fire and Emergency Services updates. We had 6 responses since our last meeting, 2 medical calls, 1 brush fire, 1 commercial alarm, 1 pole fire, 1 vehicle fire. Training over the past couple of weeks, on June 11th, they did vehicle extrication. On June 18th, they did on the training ground with fire attacks and searches and vehicle fires. Recruit training continues every Tuesday evening. Other activities the Volunteer Fire Department have been involved with, there's a Beaver Group attended live fire extinguisher training on June the 5th. Replacement rescue vehicle tender is proceeding to final draft. Specifications have been completed and are awaiting final sign-off to proceed with the tender call. Fire and life safety inspection of new bed and breakfast on Alvarez Pond Place. Capacity order cards and inspection for the Angry Urchin restaurant at Portugal Cove Road. They had an escort for grade 3 students from Beach Cove Elementary on a walk to the mailboxes on Witch Hazel Road, which occurred on June 12th and 13th. Bonfire beach signage wording was discussed, and a draft will be produced and circulated to all committee members prior to production. Once produced, Public Works will install the signs on all 3 identified beach locations in the community. The chiefs are reviewing the contact section of the emergency management plan for updates and accuracy. A copy of the latest edition of the business directory will be provided from the communications department for their utilization. All committee members agreed that the plan itself is in need of review, and a fall emergency exercise is also under discussion. Item number 3, correspondence from residents. The committee reviewed a collection of letters from residents on Old Brockhove Road with regards to traffic concerns and in particular speeding. All letters have been logged and its correspondence and responded to and have been provided to the RNC as well. Item number four, traffic concerns on Witch Hazel Road. Committee members discussed the correspondence from resident regarding traffic concerns on Witch Hazel Road. The RNC have engaged with and responded to the resident the day the correspondence was received. RNC will continue to monitor and follow up with this resident. Item number five, beach fire concerns. The committee reviewed a resident's concern regarding bonfires on the beaches resulting in damage, the kinds of things being burnt, and the refuse that's been left behind after the fires. As previously discussed under FES updates, the town is working on guideline signage to be placed on the beaches throughout the community to help alleviate this issue. The staff will respond to the resident with further information. And I have one more item on this. That's, we did have a brief discussion around the feeding the wildlife regulations. We're still waiting for the draft to come back to committee to get those regulations put out to everybody. Hopefully at the next meeting we'll have a draft that we can put out to everybody to see if we can get those wildlife feeding regulations out posted and approved. And that ends my report.
Thank you, Councilor Hanlon. Deputy Mayor Lamb, Administration and Finance.
Thank you, Your Worship. Administration and Finance Committee met on June 21st, 2018. In attendance for items 1 to 10 was myself and Councillor Herning. In attendance for items 1 to 9, Councillor Stuart Sharp and Mary Carmel. Staff, Chris Milley, Town Manager, Claudia Murray, Deputy Town Clerk. Number 1, accounts for payment. Motion. Committee recommends Council approve payment of regular accounts in the amount of $50,363.34 and capital accounts in the amount of $5,520 for a total of $55,883.34. So moved.
Seconded by Council Stuart Sharp. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Item number 2, procurement. Administration Finance Committee discussed the new Public Procurement Act and would like to ensure competitive procurement by recommending town obtain price and delivery information for purchasing commodities over 2,000 net of taxes. In the case of purchases over 2,000 where staff cannot obtain 3 quotes, for example, sole source purchases, council will approve the contract. Motion. Committee recommends that staff seek 3 vendor quotations for procurement exceeding $2,000 net of taxes, and provided that the commodity does not breach its upper threshold for open call bids. Approval of council to award a contract is required in cases where obtaining 3 quotations is not practical. So moved.
Second. Second by Councilor Bartlett. Any questions?
Yeah. How did the committee come to the $2,000 limit? Was there something that drove that particular amount?
No, we went to Public Works and obtaining quotes for a fence, and those 2 quotes came in around $2,000. And we figured since we went for quotes around that amount, it would be a nice price range.
I had a look at this in relation to the Act, and it's an open call for bids is required for anything over $10,000 actually. Underneath that, and that's to go tender, we'll say, underneath that, anything needs to go for 3 quotes. $2,000, I'm not sure where it came from in regards to, other than one particular case, I can understand that, but like, I live in this world every day, and the threshold we used was $1,000. Anything under $1,000, you didn't have to get quotes. Anything over $1,000 had to have 3 quotes. Anything over $10,000 had to go to tender. I was just wondering why $2,000 was picked. Like, anything under $2,000, we'll accept 1 quote. Is that the way I'm interpreting that? That you don't have to go get 3 quotes?
I guess that's the way we discussed it, yeah.
That's correct.
Right? Because, like, to go back to the... I was just reading through the Act, because I had to take a picture to get my head around the wording of this here, right? And approval of council to award a contract is required because contract actually leaves you to believe it's a service, and then there's a whole different ballgame when it comes to services.
Under the procurement act.
Right. And even in this, we're talking about commodities, and then we're going into services. So we're kind of crossing over two lines of business into acting. I was just trying to get the right. A contract is the word I'm kind of having an issue with, because most times a contract relates to a list of specific services that are provided, and it's a completely different line in that. The commodities, yes, you know, if you can buy up to $2,000 worth of one quote, I got no issues with that. But, you know, provide your justification if it's sole source. Are we going to go down to make an actual form that we follow so that we do all the checks and balances to say, it's all right to say sole source, but in this world of technology today, sole source is very, very hard to prove. Justification around some things is easier to sell, but sole source is very difficult to just say yes, it's sole source and without the proper documentation behind it. So I just got some concerns around a contract versus quotes. That's where I'm having the issue with this one, right?
May I ask a question? Now, you're the expert on this one, but with this $2,000, this would apply to repairs for heavy equipment, or say if you need to purchase tires or things like that as well. But we need three quotes if we had a
dump. If you only had two suppliers, you'd only need two quotes. If you've got 10 different suppliers, there'd be no reason why you wouldn't get at least three quotes, I would say.
Where it's not practical.
Yeah, there's a provision in there that says if the number of people that can supply this goods or service is limited, right? In other words, there's only one person that makes a whole bear spark plug. Well, then you can't get another price for a whole bear spark plug.
Well,
I don't even know if just...
Well, we'll only take a Freightliner truck to a Freightliner dealership. We won't take it to a Mack dealership or something.
Yeah, those are all...
So that stuff is fine.
Yeah,
repairs are still happening. Or even tires.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now, like without this, right now it's $1,000? Is it?
We had two situations recently.
Well, just listening to what Johnny said about the fact that it's 1,000 and 10,000.
No, I don't care. My personal situation is not what I work with.
Okay, one at a time. Now, I don't know, Tony wants to add in. He's getting antsy there.
We get antsy, yeah.
Never.
The limit I think is seems to be fair and workable. I mean, there was some discussion around it. I wasn't at the meeting, so I apologize. I wish I had been, because there are some potential circumstances around the limit of $2,000. Councillor Bartlett spoke to one of it being where you go in situation repairs for your heavy equipment that is, you know, a specific brand. You're not necessarily going to farm that up to somebody else. Going to be times when you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have a repair that's going to be less than the $2,000 limit in your mind, then all of a sudden something happens when it's in there. So obviously there's got to be some extenuating circumstances around each. And I think everybody's willing to work with those things.
Yeah.
As for the Public Procurement Act, it doesn't set any specific limit, and I'm glad that council actually set a limit so that we could operate there. And that would be really subject to going to quotations for anything at all, any dollar value, if we get three quotes for it. That's not to say we do or we don't on a regular basis, because most times we do, and I'll speak to those two instances at the A&F committee meeting too, because there was quotes on my previous conversations before I was brought to council. Another point. So anyway, as for sole source, the Procurement Act requires that if it's sole source, there has to still be a test of market reasonability for it. So it doesn't allow you to go out and buy sole source necessarily because it's the only person. It still has to be a reasonable price for what you think you're getting at the end of the day. How we actually come about to evaluate that, I really don't know yet, but that's something that we definitely have to take place. So if you're going out to look for something, you're not going to throw your money away because it's only one person to come. There's got to be some type of market test there against it. How you do that, I don't know. We haven't had many instances of that, but I think the 2,000 limit, as long as everyone realizes that within that 2,000 there are some guidelines and some sensitivities that we definitely have to take into account.
Okay, thank you. Anybody got anything else to?
So just for clarification purposes, now anytime we can't get three quotes, the staff can't get three quotes, they got to come back to council with it. Is that what that last sentence is?
No, we'll still have to receive council approval anyway, whether there's three quotes or not. The last line says that it would, if they don't get three quotes, it has to come back to us for decision instead of their decision. Approval of council to award contract is required in cases where obtaining three quotes is not practical.
Doesn't it all come back to us though? Like anytime the equipment is required to have service or something like that, that doesn't.
Are we getting the weeds again?
Well, no, 2,000 is a good limit.
Yeah.
And just discuss
no,
it.
No, I'm talking about truck, like a truck repair.
No, you're not going to go. It's right there. Where's not practical?
Where's
not practical?
Who determines practicality?
Well,
but now you're getting in the
way. Got to be a little bit common sense going on here.
Oh, I can't talk common sense.
Because it's not that common sense.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that.
I think we're getting into too
much.
Yes,
come on.
Yeah.
Call
on. But I think if we need something, we have to have it. It could fall under emergency repair or something as well.
Exactly. We've got to have it.
We have to have it.
Okay. Yeah, that's covered as well.
Yeah, it's covered there.
So if we're going to do this, and I know that we have given the town manager, through a previous motion of council, the ability to award, spend up to $5,000 without approval of council, is that being considered in this particular issue?
I think that was his call to
make this work for the town. Like if you do put something in to get fixed and you get a quote of $1,500 and it becomes $2,500.
Well, that's what
like, is that something we still remain the decision of town manager to do this?
Or no, the town manager would be bound by this as well. Everybody is bound by this.
Yeah, but then we can't wait 2 weeks, another 2 weeks for it to be approved by council. That's what you're saying.
That would be emergency.
Yes.
That's separate. We're just talking about regular purchases and services that would normally, normal purchases and services that would normally be done by going through the quotation of the receiving of three quotes.
Yeah, I understand. Right.
We set the lower limit. And anything above that requires three quotes.
Yeah,
doesn't say that, Darrell. The first sentence is very straight. Every purchase made here.
I agree with the cap on it. I don't like the language.
Recommends that staff seek three vendor quotations for procurement exceeding $2,000 net of taxes, and provided that the commodity does not breach its upper threshold or open call for bids.
Right, so that's $10,000 if it's an item, and up to $50,000 if it's a service. I know that.
But
every purchase now
over $2,000 requires three quotes, unless it's an emergency situation, or unless there's a situation where we have to get it from the provider of the parts for the truck, or situations like that.
Again, but that's the thing. We're saying one thing, and we're assuming something else.
That's the wording in the Act. If you look at the Act, that's all the
emergency. I'm passing the Act. I'm passing this motion.
Yeah, okay. This is setting a minimum. This is only setting a minimum.
We're getting out of order now again.
I'm not the wording.
I'm just concerned that we don't paint ourselves in the corner because of what we're passing here tonight. That we're trying to be practical, but could it turn into something that would be impractical and saying, well, we're going to have to wait.
Getting best value in return for the money for the town. I guess that's what the ultimate goal here is.
Oh, I agree with you on that. I'm just concerned that if something did happen, would we have to technically wait?
Again, I'll ask.
You wouldn't have to wait. If something technically happens, it's an emergency purchase. Yeah. Can we call the question?
I'm pretty sure our town manager came up with this word.
He was actually one that wrote it up.
He's the one that wrote it up.
So bases are covered.
We have a seconder, do we?
Yes.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Undivided. For the record, Councillor Hanlon and Councillor Neary. Against?
I don't understand.
Carry.
It's not being discussed.
Okay.
Item number 3, town services. Committee discussed the services offered by the town and financial support given to community groups. Financial support given to community groups will be brought back to the committee for discussion, comparison, and equality. Item 4, correspondence, National Airlines Council of Canada. Correspondence is for information only. Item number 5, request for tax relief. The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 10, located at 59 Legion Road, submitted a request for business and property tax relief as per past practice. The town considered the request and will make the following motion. Motion. Committee recommends the town exempt property tax in the amount of $1,503.45 and business tax in the amount of $1,873.53 for the Royal Canadian Legion Branch 10. So moved.
I will ask leave of council before there's a decision on this one because I'm a member of the Legion. If that's okay.
Okay. Sure. motion on the floor. Do we have a seconder?
Second.
Seconded by Councilor Bartlett. Any discussion?
Just a quick question. It says this for past practice, so this is something that's always.
This has been done since it was keeping record.
I thought so.
All in favor?
Aye.
Undermined? Carried.
Item number six.
Daryl. We let him back in.
Forgot what that got.
Pretty comfy.
Thanks, Claudine. Item six, zone metering, voluntary residential metering project. Subsequent to the change order approved the motion number 2018-180, the document was submitted to the province for approval. The town received a reply asking for changes to eligible costs to be made. Vigilant is working with the information to propose a solution. Item seven, Meadow Heights. A letter to notify the residents of the new fee structure and their ability to connect to the water and sewer infrastructure will be sent next week. Item eight, Tolk Road Project. A letter seeking citizen engagement on the proposed Tolk Road reconstruction project will be sent out in the near future. Item 9, request for donation. The committee received correspondence from the Rover Search and Rescue Team asking for support towards purchasing a UAV, unmanned aerial vehicle, equipped for infrared camera fundraising. Committee supports the initiative and puts forward the following recommendation. Motion, committee recommends the council donate $1,000 to the Rover Search and Rescue towards the purchase of an unmanned aerial vehicle equipped with infrared camera. So moved.
Seconder. Seconded by both Councilor Derry and Councilor George Sharp. Councilor Hanlon, sorry. Just roll.
You want to say me,
I? Seconded by Councilor Hanlon. Any questions?
Question. See, again, you should have me read report tonight. Is that a policy that we have, that $1,000? Like, I know within recreation we have a policy, so that's already a policy in place. It's not anything you have to consider for later.
Yeah, no, there's a policy in place which allows us to support emergency fundraising for emergency and disaster recovery.
Perfect. Is there just one price there, Daryl, for that? Or is it $1,000?
It's a maximum of $1,000.
Maximum $1,000. Cool, thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried.
Item number 10, Crown Land Title. Following a letter to the Lands Division of Department of Municipal Affairs and Environment in April 2018 stating that the town has always considered the land in question to belong to the resident, the town received a request to support a land quit claim on the basis that the town has collected taxes and interacted with the individual as owner of the land for many years. Motion. Committee recommends that the town provide a letter of support to the resident stating the town is willing to sign a quit claim deed for the land in question. So moved.
Seconded by Councillor Harding. Any question? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried.
And so any more report?
Thank you. Some correspondence was received and sent to the appropriate department. Is there any new business? Councillor Hanlon.
I just want to get one thing back on the table. It's about the traffic study that we had in Donnie, three different parts of the town that we were supposed to bring in the residents and have some engagement with. I think we need to get that back on the rails. I don't know if that's through Public Works or Economic Development or where it comes through, but there's a report of three different areas of town that we paid money to get done, and we haven't finished it properly or clued it up or whatever we're going to do and bring forward. I think we need to get that back on the map. And the agenda somewhere up on the committees.
Sorry, I can bring that forward too.
I think Jeff has had it on his radar, I believe. Yeah. I just want get it back on the agenda again, see if we can get some.
Yeah, because if you remember, we did have a date for that at one point, and we had to put that aside to deal with another matter. Yeah. So thank you. I'll make sure.
Because I really think that that's going to go hand in hand with this particular council having a look at our traffic calming policy. Yeah, I think that's. Good segue into a review of that policy.
Perfect. Thank you.
Before we finish, I'm not sure if it came to council or not, but Penny has resigned. I don't know if anyone's aware of that. Penny and in front, she resigned actually the week before last. I guess where I was away last week, it didn't get carried forward. So I guess, first of all, we want to thank her for her time spent with the town. It's been probably close on 8 years now or more. She's leaving in 2 weeks' time. We're in the process of trying to backfill that position, as well trying to bring everybody up to speed, because as you know, Lori is fairly new to the area as well and still learning what Penny is doing, so there's going to be some expansion pains or whatever, or reorganization pains as we go through that. But we certainly want to wish Penny all the best in her next round of efforts too as well, and like I say, thank her for her support.
Yep, for sure. So is that no other business? No further business? New business? Somebody move German?
Someone.
Moved by
Deputy tradition Mayor now. Oh, that's it. He's out. Partnership is over.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Jesus. Partnership is over. That was the longest meeting.
Oh my God.
Good discussions. Great stuff.